It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It is good to hear that sound again. I am back from my trip. I'm Dr. Mason West and joined again by Danny Meehan, co-host of Bare Bones. How are you doing, Danny?
I'm good, Doc. How are you doing?
I think this is the first day that I felt a little bit normal after my Disney vacation. I'm not going to lie. I've been exhausted.
How was the mouse?
It was awesome. We did like 20,000 steps a day, which is too much. We did 22 rides one day at Magic Kingdom, which again is too much. But you know, it was fun.
That sounds like a good time. I haven't been to Disney since I was like 7 years old, so.
Definitely worth the trip. And I can plan it for you. I got you unlocked. Don't worry.
You know what, Mason? There's no one I would trust to do it besides you.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, so we got to dive right in.
Do we?
It's this freaking Bears are just always full of news, and none of it's good most of the time. But first thing we'll start with, because it's pretty straightforward, Bears have signed defensive tackle Andrew Billings to a two-year contract extension. $8.5 million deal that has $6 million guaranteed. What are your thoughts on that, Danny?
I think it's a good value for a player that's pretty doggone good, right? Like, Billings is nothing to write home about in terms of pass rush ability, really. He does cause some interior pocket pressure, but he's more of a run stuffer, take up space, hold your ground kind of guy, let the linebackers rally behind him, right? It seems like a good value signing. And for a guy who's 28, he's probably more than happy to take his $6.5 million guaranteed and be here for the next 2 years. He's going to end up spending probably the second longest tenure of his career in Chicago when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I'm right there with you. And if anything, this seemed like a pretty solid team-friendly deal to me. I think his play, maybe it's exaggerated because of how bad the Bears defense as a whole has been and the bright spot that he is. But based on what he's been able to do, how important he's been to really the only bright spot this team has been, which is really the run stopping, he's been a big part of that, both literally and figuratively.
I agree. He's a really good value find who they got because I want to say he was nicked up last year a little bit where like he wasn't able to play to his full capability. And the Bears got him off the scrap heap, really. I think he's a minimum deal this year. So,
yeah, exactly. And, yeah, just being able to get him for what you got. Like, at some point, you got to keep good players around. He's been a good player. I don't care, you know, if he's, you know, one tech, three tech, edge. You know, get your line right, and that's just a good step towards it.
No kidding.
Moving on. Bears do not trade Jalen Johnson. I think – his comments are interesting. I personally, I think, attached a little more to Ryan Poles' comments. Like, if you listen to his press conference, first of all, and I've said this a couple times, beyond refreshing to have a GM that actually not just talks, but and he kind of went step by step and told you everything that went down so far in these contract negotiations, which you definitely don't get before. And I think it highlights some of the frustrations that Poles has felt. Because I think when you go on Bears Twitter, you listen to most fans, you know, pay Jalen Johnson. He's an amazing corner. He's one of the best players on the Bears defense. Why aren't you paying this man? And I think you kind of see behind the curtain as to why so far it hasn't happened.
So it's the truth is always somewhere in the middle. Ryan Poles is an articulate, well-spoken guy. I don't think necessarily – of course, he's going to try to paint it like he's doing everything he can to retain his corner. Jalen's going to play the disgruntled player, right? Like, I'm disrespected. You should be paying me. And I'm probably one of the biggest Jalen Johnson fans there is. I think he's a hell of a player who's gotten better every year. It used to be his first couple seasons, especially, where he would have a great three, four, five game stretch, and then he would kind of peter off. And this year it hasn't been the case. He's been pretty consistent throughout the season. To this point, things can always change. But to me, it seems like something may have gotten lost in translation between the two parties. Like, I don't know, like, if Ryan Poles is saying, I thought we were close, but someone else is reporting, clearly it's Jalen's agent, saying, oh, they were disrespectful with the offer they submitted. First off, to the general public who may not know, there's more than one or two offers that get submitted. There are a multitude of going back and forth to find the agreement, whether it be contract language, guaranteed money, years, total money, et cetera, et cetera. So the truth is obviously somewhere in the middle, but if you want my personal opinion, I think somewhere between the two parties, something got missed and lost in translation.
Yeah, I mean, Poles even said as much. You know, he alluded to the difference when you're doing emails or texts, right, and having these conversations where you can poo-poo someone for doing that in a professional setting, but I think we all do it now. You know,
it's the way of the world.
It's just how it is. You know, text, you can't infer things unless you're about to send a bunch of winky emojis and all this crazy stuff. And then going as far as what Poles said, too, regarding, you know, they left conversations on Sunday with Jalen's representatives, and he's texting people back at Hallis like, oh, this is going to get done soon. And then there's a trade request. So, you know, you could tell he was taken aback a bit. And yes, from my understanding, the initial offer of Jalen, and that's been the case across the board, Tremaine Edmonds was the same way, and a bunch of the free agents and a bunch of their own players, the Bears start really low. You know, they're that guy in your fantasy league that offers you, you know, a future third round pick for Justin Jefferson to get the conversation going. And you're like, you have to understand that that's not the final offer. And Poles said as much on that as well. At no point did either side say, hey, it's, you know, $14 million, take it or leave it. They were still in the talks. And it seems like in more so in today's day and age, not to be the guy sitting on my porch yelling at kids on the grass, but some of these players are getting a little hastier and now all of a sudden going to the media and saying, this isn't working.
It's clearly some of that. We're in the era of players trying to get their rights, trying to get their money, get everything they're worth for every year you can, because it's a finite number of years in your career. I mean, look at it from this perspective. I'm 33 years old. How many guys in any pro league are left at 33 years old?
Not a lot, very little.
No, and I'm not quote unquote old by definition, you know.
So you're just football old.
I'm pro athlete old, right? So I don't begrudge guys for saying it and trying to get everything they're worth, but the art of negotiating. If you're the player, if you want the moon, you ask for the galaxy and the stars.
Yep.
If you're the organization, you're going to say, well, he wants the moon, let's offer him the continent. You know,
are you gonna go with a shack in Guatemala? But that works too.
I just picture Shaquille O'Neal in Guatemala just doing his little shimmy dance.
But you're actually right, it's a game, it's a dance, right? You know, both sides understand that, and I keep going back to this, but fantasy football wise, you know, or anything you do of that nature, you're not going to offer what you truly think this player is worth right away because you want to maybe get a better deal.
Think of it as you leaving a company yourself. You're making $75,000 a year. You get a company offering you $83,000 to leave. You tell them, you go to your current company who's paying you $75,000, hey, listen, I'm being offered $83,000. You can match it or I'm leaving. They go, okay, well, we can't get to $83,000. We can get to $78,000 plus Christmas and performance bonuses, but you get to keep your current benefits, and say the benefits at your current job are real good. But the $83,000 is being offered from startup company who doesn't have the cash flow to get necessarily great benefits. It's a weighing decision, right? You just got to kind of put it into your own atmosphere of what you can akin it to, because we don't live in these guys' worlds where we're seeing Like, because in my world, I think he probably wants like Tre'Davious White money in terms of a guarantee over the 4 years, which I believe he's averaging over $17.5 million a year. Like, that's a lot of money for a guy who's really not as good as Tre'Davious White, even with Tre'Davious being hurt.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with this.
It's all a wait and see.
If I had to put money down on it, my bet is a deal gets done. I just have a – it just seems like that's the way it's going to go. You know, right now Jalen is saying he's waiting to – he's not doing contract negotiations at this point in time. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's all we can do is wait and see.
And then burying the lead a little bit here, Bears traded for an edge rusher, right? Montez Sweat. They traded a second-round pick, which is going to be a pretty high pick, more likely than not. Top 40 pick. And is this the same as the Chase Claypool trade?
No. So you're paying already an established football player who's a – God, he's not one of the premier edge rushers in football. Tier second, top of the tier, middle of the tier two. Yeah, like my worry with him is always going to be he was the third best player on that defensive line.
But is that, and then to play devil's advocate, is that just more about their defensive line?
Or is he thriving because of guys exactly. like Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen existing?
Yeah.
So we won't know until he suits up for the Bears, right? When he is going to be the man. Like, and that's where the other part with to get to your question. The reason Chase Claypool The reason Chase Claypool cost you that high second round pick last year was because he had an additional year of control. That's what you're paying for. That's the same principle in baseball of when you see three top 10 prospects in a team's organization get moved for a pitcher who's on an expiring deal. It's like, well, or with 3 years of team control left, rather, because you've got 3 years of team control. You can part with these great player or these great potential players because you're getting a guy who's already spoken for under your rights for the next 3 to 4 seasons. So it's different. And the issue with Montez Sweat is we're now learning, and mind you, I think Montez Sweat is really good. I like the acquisition in a vacuum. But this doesn't exist in a vacuum. This exists in the context of everything else. It's similarly how I viewed the Tevin Jenkins move up in terms of like the player, hate the process of how you got to the player. You are going to be it sounded like he was going to Atlanta, and they already had a deal almost effectively worked out. It doesn't seem like he's quite thrilled to be here, which you pay the guy his money. It's not going to matter. He's going to be thrilled because he's going to be getting his – I would guess he tops the Rashawn Gary deal if I had to guess.
And I was about to bring that out, and you beat me to the punch. So Rashawn Gary, he had a 4-year, $96 million extension in new money, $107 million overall with a signing bonus of $34 million. So my question to you would be, if you – that would be a $24 million a year. So let's just say it was 25. Would you say
25. Would you be okay with that? You have to be. When you make this deal, you have to extend him. And letting him get to the franchise tag should not be an option.
So let me push back on you slightly in terms of the process. What part of the process are you not happy with, and how could that process have been better?
My part of the process I'm not happy with is the fact that you moved a top 40 pick for him in a year when you're not doing anything. And he's a guy not entering his prime, he's in his peak years. He's 27, he'll be 28. You're going to be paying him when you're theoretically building a roster still for when he's not going to be at the peak of his powers.
I would say most pass rushers up through, I would say through 32.
Maybe. I mean, him losing a step is going to bring him back to above average. The way he tested at the combine and everything, he's a legitimate freak athlete.
And ran like, I think it ran a 4.4 40. I mean,
I guess
Chris Jones is 29. I mean, obviously, that's, I said 32, but I mean, Chris Jones is 29, and I don't think he's stopping anytime soon. Let's see, who's another guy. You know, Danielle Hunter is 29.
29 leads the NFL in sacks right now, I believe.
Right. So, like, you know, obviously, and every player is different. Some are going to peter off sooner than others. Some are going to go longer than others.
And I'm not saying he's going to just fall off an absolute cliff. I'm just saying right now he's going to be at the peak of his physical abilities.
And like you said too, right? I mean, so he has 6.5 sacks this year on pace for 10, which he's never had 10 sacks before, 10 tackles for loss, 11 quarterback hits this season. And like you said, was he kind of overshadowed by a Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, or was he bolstered by that? And so does he take off a little more, right? Because he was always getting a lot of pressures, but maybe not converting as much as you'd like if you look at some of his numbers. Does he convert a little bit more now that he doesn't have some of those other players taking the sacks? And I think the other layer you look at it is, or at least that I do, if you take that second round pick, and obviously like the thing you can't sub in and out of this is the money, right? You draft someone with a second round pick, that's a cheap contract that you have for that entire period of time until you decide to potentially extend that player. That is what it is. But, you know, the caliber of player you're hoping to get, you know, thinking, I'm not going to stay very Bear-centric with this, who, when they traded away that Chase Claypool pick, that became, I believe, Joey Porter Jr., right? And this is, again, in a vacuum, so take that with a grain of salt, so don't come at me super hard for this, people in the chat and comments. But would you prefer Sweat or Joey Porter Jr.?
Joey Porter Jr.
Wow, I'm blown away by that. I would take Sweat.
It's partially just contract control.
I'm saying if you're not doing the contract.
Without the contract.
I'm saying the player position.
Player position, probably Montez Sweat, because I will always be in the camp of pass rushers make the secondary's life easier, not vice versa.
And then just to keep down that road, you know, past second round picks for the Bears, Cole Kmet. Okay, I mean, you're taking Montez Sweat over Cole Kmet, I assume.
I'm a totally unbiased party in this conversation.
And then a really interesting one, Jalen Johnson. Like, in a vacuum, if you just you're playing Madden, you're putting players on your team, it's now a second round pick time. Are you taking Sweat? Or are you taking Jalen Johnson?
That's a little tougher because I think at this moment Jalen's better than Joey Porter Jr. and he's younger still. Jalen's just turning 24. That's a different conversation. I probably still lean Sweat because
edge rusher.
I mean, some things will never change. The most expensive players in the league are going to be your quarterback, the people who protect the quarterback, and the people who kill the quarterback.
Yeah,
that's it.
And your path to getting a viable edge rusher is tough. Right, because if you listen to Dane Brugler, which I do, I think he's one of the best out there in terms of draft analysis.
He's probably the best right now.
He doesn't really have an edge in the top 10 for the most part, I believe. I mean, like,
from everything I've even watched, to which is limited to compare, obviously in comparison to Dane, in my opinion, is nothing. But it's a good, not great class, even from my vantage point.
So
in terms of edge rushers.
So one of your top picks you have currently, two first round picks, probably is not going to be an edge unless you trade it down because something crazy happened. Who's to know what a second round prospect in an edge is going to be? If you look at free agency, first you have Sweat, Young are two of the top names there. Clearly, you know, like you said, Atlanta was in the business and they were going to have a contract worked out, so he wasn't going to reach free agency. You have a Danielle Hunter. Is he going to reach free agency? You have a Brian Burns. Is he going to reach free agency? So now that's not enough. Look at last year. We were saying, we're sitting here saying Daron Payne was going to be, all right, Chicago Bear, Daron Payne. And then they got a deal done.
And well, I mean, the name you're going to be looking at it, right, this coming off season is going to be Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get free.
Yes.
Now.
And Edge, though, I will say, is one of those you can't have enough edge players. And are you Yannick's on a 1-year deal? I mean, what if you're going into next year with Sweat and Huff?
I mean, that makes it look a lot better, especially because theoretically what you could do is your line would then look like left to right Sweat, Billings. I would probably kick Walker inside to make him your full-time three technique, because that's where he does most of his damage anyway. And then Huff would be your other outside edge defender. Which, you do that, looks pretty formidable, because then you're rotating in guys like Dexter.
And so I totally understand what you're saying in terms of the process and where the Bears are at in this rebuild.
Oh, no, it's a devil's advocate.
And I literally that when I first saw it, I was like, I don't like this. I woke up the next morning and I was like, I think I like this. I'm waffling a little on it. I get the process. I see why they're doing it. Poles, I'm going to give Poles the benefit of the doubt for now on this one, because he's the one that sat there and tore this thing down and now is trying to piece it back together. So in terms, it's you have to start getting, and we've said this, you have to start getting blue chip talent. I'm not saying he's necessary, but he's the bluest, one of the bluest players on this defense right now. And he hasn't played.
So I guess this boils down to a question then, especially with the soundbite of Adam Hogue on the Bernstein and Holmes show yesterday, him saying he doesn't get the feeling Eberflus is in any sort of danger. You know, the way that Poles talks about him, the way that he's in that room every day. You get a sense a lot of times when a GM is trying to distance himself from a coach. Do I think Poles is, or Eberflus is coming back? No, I do not. I don't believe sort of a miracle you can bring him back.
But when Poles gives the endorsement that he did in that press conference, you can kind of tell he's not out on Eberflus. He's not counting down the hours to firing him.
No, he's not. The question then becomes, I'm pretty close to as out can be on Ryan Poles at this moment. Is this a move trying to save a regime's skin? Like, if we can just get this defense right, because the run defense is good. The secondary is playing well, all things considered. The pass rush is what's killing you. You got a viable NFL second-tier pass rusher now who's going to make mismatch problems. You've got an offense that seems to be finding itself in some capacity. You know, I say what you want. They are running the ball better. They're trying to make everything work as best they can. I think Luke Getsy is an overpromoted wide receivers coach who's calling plays, but I digress. Is how much of this is a move to just, like, not get fired?
It's interesting because as out as you are on Poles, I just feel like he's not on the hot seat in any way. So I don't know that it's necessarily him saving his job. I think it's more of a combo of how do I make my team better around me, or how to make the team better as a whole? How do I give help to my head coach right now? His head coach is Matt Eberflus, and he is committed right now to helping his head coach, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more that. I would be blown away.
I'm asking a question.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, I get that Montez Sweat can play outside linebacker in a 3-4. He's a 4-3 defensive end, though, where he's done most of his work and done a lot of his ascension. Again, I don't think Eberflus is staying, but it certainly doesn't feel like they're in a hurry to make any sort of decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough when you're in this position, right? Because you want to acquire talent, but does that talent match, and that talent has to match the current regime, but at the same time, like, you can't future-proof determining what the next, if there is a next regime, what that's going to be, if it's a 3-4, is it a 4-3? Obviously, now in the NFL, it matters a little less because teams are playing less base anyway. It's all these nickels and dimes and stuff. Nickel
and dime and quarter and
So I think it matters less. And I think Sweat is a guy that can play both. I mean, we had this whole conversation with Robert Quinn. You know, he's used to having his hand in the dirt and then he sucked year one, but did he have a drop foot issue? And then year two, he sets the league, record in sacks from this other position. So I think it matters less, but it's definitely a data point to consider.
Yeah, I'm just posing the question. I'm not saying I know one way or the other.
It'll be interesting. And I think we'll actually dive in more on this as we continue the show. We'll go to our concussed corner. Speaking of Eberflus, so mine wasn't a game decision. Mine is a combination of Eberflus' message to the Bears at halftime of that game, as well as on Monday in that presser. He noted at halftime, right, what the problems were. Too many penalties that set drives back on offense. Operation wasn't as clean as it needed to be. Bears weren't executing the basics on defense, cupping the ball, pursuit apex and tackling angles, all that jazz. And then you get to Monday's presser, and I feel like he rarely, I don't think, at no point have I heard Flew say, I didn't call a good game. Or did he say, us as coaches didn't prepare our players correctly, or we didn't da-da-da-da-da. It's always the player's execution, the player's this, the player's that. And that's continued throughout this week, actually, too. If you follow those, like, it's always about the players.
And this they got to execute better.
Yep. This is connected to something we're going to talk about a little bit later. I don't want to get into the firing of the coach quite yet. There's a point. That's the future thing. At what point does Eberflus just look at himself and say, just say that? I mean, because I think I would think if I'm a player, if I'm Poles, if I'm this, if I'm that, if I'm the coaches, at some point, you got to take some accountability for this shit. Like,
I agree.
You're the hits guy. You're the coachy coach and da-da-da-da-da. Why aren't you getting your players to cup the ball appropriately on defense, to take the proper angles? Yes, execution matters. The Jimmies and Joes matter more than the X's and O's and all that jazz. But you're the one still getting them there.
I agree. Is this time for my concuss corner, or are we still piloting off of what you're saying?
Nah, I mean, it is what it is. Flu sucks. What's yours?
So have you ever seen the movie 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler?
Yeah,
pretty good. Where he's dating the girl where she gets her slate wiped clean every night before the morning. That's Luke Getsy every week. Whatever he does on offense, the slate is wiped clean, and he just forgets everything. It's the funniest thing. Like, whatever was working 2 weeks ago, he did not bring it to LA. And he tried to do the same, like, passing game and make Tyson Bagent this drop back, throw the ball so many damn times passer, which...
Don't forget the end around to Trent Taylor right into Khalil Mack.
Oh, that was fun. Yes, don't forget that. Trent Taylor meeting that guy in space. Lovely. I mean, at least we didn't... Did we see the Komet sneak? I don't think we did.
No, so, we didn't. Amazingly, we didn't get... No.
Oh, damn it. Like, what is going on in that offensive meeting room where anything and everything that works, it's like they're trying to outsmart themselves. Like, oh, we put things that worked on tape. They can't know about it. Throw it all away and completely come up with a new game plan to go again. It's like they're trying to make individualized game plans for each week against each individual opponent. And that doesn't work in the NFL. Like, there's a reason, like, these teams have to establish their quote-unquote bread and butter in training camp.
Well, it's almost like they're defensively playing offense, right? They're not establishing their will and what they want to do. They're saying, well, we think they're going to do this, so we're going to react in this way.
They're trying to counterpunch. They're trying to be Floyd Mayweather to every opponent. Yeah. And that just doesn't work in the NFL. Like, eventually you got to make the defense adjust to you. And it was the same thing after the back-to-back weeks of Justin Fields where they were moving the pocket and he was taking off and doing everything like that. They stopped doing that.
Yep, here's like, a 3-5-step drop back. Good luck, Justin.
Like, and I just don't under – like, and I think the other part of it was – you know what? We'll touch on this later. I'm sure we'll get to Tyson Bagent in a minute, but I'm not going to go on that yet.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to talk about – ankle repair, Achilles. The first thing to hit the ground when you play most sports is your foot. So why isn't your foot and ankle strength a priority for you? Achilles was created by founder Trey Villarreal and co-founder Eric Schlossberg to give every athlete the advantage to perform with confidence and allow them to play at 100%, even after suffering serious injuries. It is trusted by collegiate and professional teams all over the nation. The Achilles has been shown to increase muscle development by as much as 320% in the lower leg muscles. I use this myself for my personal ankle strength, and with all of my lower extremity patients. Often transitioning from table to functional movements and standing can be hard due to ankle weakness. Traditional bands are too weak, and many standing balance exercises are too hard. Achilles bridges the gap by bulletproofing the ankles and knees. Achilles can be used for rehabilitation, injury prevention, and overall strengthening. So it's great for the clinic, the gym, or the home. Want to see it in action? Head to their Instagram, Achilles_nation, or my own personal page, Dr. West Sport PT. Then go to anklerepair.com to order yours yourself. Ankle repair. Do it. Your ankles will thank you. Time for our training room roundup. We're going to just take a peek at what is going on here. There is unfortunately a lot and a little at the same time. So I'm going to touch on Jaquan Prisker more specifically a little bit later for one of my points, but didn't participate. concussion, probably out. Nate Davis, high ankle sprain, definitely out. Tremaine Edmonds, knee, he had a hyperextension. Most likely has a bone bruise in there. The fact that they haven't put him on IR or anything like that to me shows there was no severe ligament
damage. Question to you, just based on – it looked like a hyperextension to me. Mm-hmm. What would make it also become a deep bone bruise?
So really a bone bruise just occurs where, you know, one bone hits another. And you, okay. Then you bruise the cartilage and the bone itself. So in that hyperextension – if you're listening to the podcast, you're going to have to picture this. If you're watching me, you watch my hands, I guess. Right? This is your knee joint. Right? And if you get that hyperextension here, the front of that tibia and the front of the femur can slam on each other. And that's where that bone bruise would happen. The thing that sucks is right in that area is cartilage, the meniscus. And that's a very avascular or basically not a lot of blood flow area. So it takes a little good amount of time for that to heal. And it's super painful. More often than not, you can't do more damage to it, but it just sucks to deal with. Similar, Andy Dalton had that when that kept him out for as long as it did. And it just overall sucks.
I've had a bone bruise, but it was from banging knees in basketball. I never got one playing football. So at least not that I'm aware of.
Justin Fields also did not participate. I'm also going to touch on this a little bit later. It's going to be a nice rant, so strap in for that one. Good news, Eddie Jackson, full participant. Hopefully he can actually play the entire game. Braxton Jones, limited. We'll see what happens there. Important because if you look further down, if you're watching this, Larry Borum was out for personal reasons. I'm not sure what that was all about. So hopefully nothing bad's happening on that end. Unfortunately, Lucas Patrick is back. Mercedes Lewis, as always, has rest. Little quick touch here, Terrell Smith. It was mentioned that he, unfortunately, is dealing with mono. I've had a couple people in my DMs and mentions asking, like, why the heck he's not out there. You have to keep in mind that one of the main complications with mono is you get an enlargement of the spleen. And in extreme cases, that can rupture, causing sharp sudden pain up your abdomen. I mean, you need surgery. Otherwise, you get sepsis and you die. So when it gets enlarged,
you could also bleed out. It's one of your biggest blood factories in your whole body.
100%. Danny is 1,000% right on that, actually. And when you think about its location, just like out below the rib cage, if it's enlarged, playing football is not good. You hit that, it explodes. And as Danny said, a lot of blood loss, sepsis, and you could die. So that can take a good bit of time. Incubation period is about 4 to 6 weeks. So you got to wait for that spot. You basically just have, it's a ticking time thing. You got to wait the 4 weeks at least before you get back out there.
And isn't the, just to go back to Brisker, what didn't he get cleared from concussion protocol and re-enter it?
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, because I know I've mentioned it, delayed onset concussion syndrome, guys, it is real. Like, you can get this well after the concussions actually happened.
It is real, just not this case.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, well, that's my something later. We'll talk about that. Really quickly, let's peek at the Saints, what they have going on here. They actually have a decent list too, but, you know, mostly limited. I don't even know who Ty Summers is, and he's got a concussion and a hamstring. He's basically dead to me. I don't know who that is. What's going on?
He's dead to me. I don't know who this guy It just made me think of the movie Major League where they get the roster of players. This guy here is dead. Cross him off then.
That's Ty Summers. Really the only person on this list you would be like, if you were like super worried for the Saints, if he didn't play, you know, Taysom Hill is still an important part of their offense. DeMario Davis is incredibly important to their defense. So if they couldn't go, that'd be a problem. My assumption is, we'll see on Friday, but my assumption is they're limited until tomorrow and they'll be full.
Right.
And then same thing with Lynn Bowden, Michael Thomas. I mean, just limited in fulls due to some kind of illness. They'll be back.
Former draft Twitter crush Lynn Bowden.
I still love Lynn Bowden. He just seems fun. I don't know. Like, just a fun gadgety dude that maybe catches a football and doesn't trip and fall in the end zone.
Why would you trip and fall? Shouts out to Cole Kmet.
I guess because the ball is underthrown, apparently, and so even though you're wide open, you trip on the turf that's in the end zone. I don't know.
Shouts out to Velus Jones.
Yeah, not like I'm talking about him specifically or anything. Knee-jerk reactions. What you got?
The Bears offense is an absolute mess. like I said, it goes back to the whole, like, I think he's just Drew Barrymore in 50 First Dates. Nothing is the same ever. And we also learned that Tyson Bagent is exactly who we thought Tyson Bagent is. I don't care that he threw one pass 40 yards in the air. You're an NFL quarterback. You should be able to make a 40-yard pass.
Yeah.
And then for as much as we want to rag on Bayless, yes, he should have caught the touchdown. That ball was also probably 2 to 3 yards short. So that's why Bayless had to slam on the brakes, try to go back and get it. And the ball actually did hit him in the chest, so credit to Tyson for immaculate accuracy hitting him between the numbers. Too bad he had to fall backwards 6 feet to go get it. That's my knee-jerk reaction. It has nothing to do with disliking Tyson Bagent. If you found a quarterback two that can do the Gardner Minshew, Taylor Heineke thing to get you through a few weeks, that's fine. But this idea that he was going to come in and secure down quarterback one going into the next season, come on. Like, what are we doing here?
But Bajan Orange.
Yeah, and Eddie and Earl Bennett was Agent Orange too with his orange cleats.
No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he's a rookie. He's an undrafted free agent. He has room to grow, but that ceiling is limited. Like, he could be a story, yes, where he outworks everybody and figures out a way to, you know, overcome the odds. But I mean, he's also played a lot of football. Right. I mean, he played a lot of high school, a lot of college. And that's one of the reasons why, he broke so many records like he did in D2. Shepherd. Yeah, that's where he went to school.
Shepherd College. Yeah.
But like, I'm not hating on him. I don't want him to fail. I'm just being realistic in that there's heavy limitations. And at this point in time, he could be a very, very, very good backup. Someone you're super excited with. If your quarterback misses two games, you're like, you know what? Perfect. We got Tyson Bagent. We know we're good.
Yeah, and it's Taylor Heineke or Gardner Minshew or Tyrod Taylor.
Actually, I picked up Taylor Heineke in like two fantasy leagues because I'm so confident that he will do well with the Falcons.
Yeah, he's probably better than Desmond Ridder.
Oh, he has to be. Desmond Ridder sucks.
Quarterback 1 2 years ago for Dan. Woo!
Yeah, we all miss some of those.
Oh, you know what? The secret to draft evaluation is you miss probably 4 times out of 5.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anyone though.
Yeah, they'll just be mad at you for your terrible, terrible take. my knee-jerk reaction. The Bears are railroading Justin Fields and are messing up their medicals. They've been doing it for years and it's continued into this year. It's, it's Monday and they ruled Justin out for week 9. When I first wrote this, Justin Fields can grip a damn football. He's got some pain. He can grip it and he can throw it. And at this point in time, saying that Eberflus is week to week, but he's improving. That's not week to week. If you're ruling him out on Monday already, like that's too early for that to be truly week to week. And whether it's, I don't know what you're saving him for. Like, if Justin wants to go out there, if he isn't going to re-hurt his thumb, which there's always a chance to re-hurt anything, if he can grip the football and if he can efficiently play for 2 hours, what are we waiting for?
Do we know he can grip the football?
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're friends with his chiropractor. I'm not.
The other thing I want to bring up is, as you talked about, the Jahwan Brisker stuff. So Monday, second-year safety was examined by the independent neurologist and was cleared of a concussion. Tuesday, starts to feel ill, showing symptoms such as a fever, persists till Friday, was then brought to House Hall, ruled out on Saturday. Illness was then cleared on Saturday, but the next day he still felt a bit off, then finally gets diagnosed with a concussion.
That sounds like the flu.
If you know the fuck, and I'm going to tell Lester that I'm swearing a lot on this podcast because he's going to have to mark it as explicit. If you know what the fuck you are doing as a fucking neurologist, as a team doctor, as an athletic trainer, the things that Brisker is presenting with is there's classic concussion stuff. Yes, there's also some weird, I got some flu stuff, but there is classic concussion things in there. Well, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
The sensitivity, the throwing up, the not feeling just off, just that feeling of ugh. But my initial reaction, if you clear him and then he's doing, my initial reaction would be, it sounds like the flu or maybe COVID. But why is he cleared if he's clearly still exhibiting these symptoms?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what the hell. I've tried to not dive into all this, to be quite honest, because, you know, I know people on that staff. They mean well, all that jazz. It's not a good training staff. It can be better. And we've seen that. Like, the Bears tend to be one of the more injured, and not just like in injuries. I mean, we see, yes, the Saints had a decent list, but most of the people are just limited, and they're going to play on Sunday, and they're going to be fine. The Bears have legitimate big-ass injuries that keep people out, that send them to IR, and this is a problem. This isn't just – and this has been going back not just the Poles era. This goes back to the Pace era. This goes back to – this goes back to previous ones. This needs to get fixed, and you're going to kill someone. If you send Jaquan Brisker out there with the concussion that he had, he could have major brain issues that end up costing him his career, if not his life. So they need to get on their shit, because this is bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even begin to argue with you, because it's you're right.
So yeah, that's my knee-jerk reaction. Clip that, spread it. I don't care. I'm standing on this right now. Justin could play this week he could play this week. Jaquan Brisker should have been ruled out forever ago and should be seeking medical attention. That's not just in Halas Hall, because Halas Hall is doing a shit ass crap job. Moving on. To be perfectly honest, what is something brutally honest?
How do we say it without really just rehashing everything? This coaching staff's in over its head. Like, and I was an Eberflus supporter. I thought that when they and again, I think I've said it on this very show, on this very Windy City Gridiron channel. Maybe the reason I was okay with it and was down with the hiring and him being one of the final three candidates was a feeling of comfort and safety that the only successful era of Bears football came under a similar regime.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it was a bad feeling, but you brought it up earlier, the never taking accountability for the coaching staff. It's always putting it on the players down to execute. Well, at a certain point, you got to put the players in a position to execute too. And just the medical staff, like everything, it almost feels like classic Bears, doesn't it? Everyone's promoted a spot too far. Ryan Poles may be overpromoted into a GM. It's clear Matt Eberflus is overpromoted to head coach. Luke Getsy is overpromoted to offensive coordinator. He should still be a wide receivers coach
or
a quarterback.
He never called plays,
not at the college level under Jordan Moorhead or at the NFL level. He has never called plays. Keep going. Like, you don't have a defensive coordinator because he might be a grosso. Like, you don't longer have a running back because he might be a grosso.
I think he's just a dick.
Yeah, it's office misconduct is what I heard. What it means, it's pretty broad terminology. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, what's going to come up next? We're going to find out, like, the secondary's coach is the Zodiac Killer or something? I don't know. Like, it just feels like everything is so off. And Eberflus is responsible. To an extent, Poles is responsible. And you can't, like, talk about the vetting when you've had to fire two people. And I don't care that Williams resigned. He was fired.
Yeah, he was fired. The thing that I find interesting on that, so I'm going to be honest, this was somewhere here. So my Well Ain't This Humorous was actually going to be talking about this whole Matt Eberflus thing, so I might as well just do it now. So, but you're right. It's pretty funny to a sad point that Matt Eberflus has had two staff members who were HR'd off the team. And I've said this before, right? This is supposed to be the Hits Culture CEO guy. Now, that being said, I'm getting a little tired of the whole conversation of the, you know, vetting and hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, most vetting and hiring processes, and I know an NFL team is different to an extent, but like, so the NFL, two things with this. One, the NFL is a very who do you know league. So a lot of times it's, hey, we need a running backs coach. Oh, well, like, I know a guy who knows a guy. He did a really good job in Florida, and I think he'd be great. Okay, cool. Let's bring him in. Let's have a conversation. Okay, cool. We're hiring him. So, you know, and I think it's a problem. We need to change that. There's too many coaches' sons on staffs. The nepotism is wild. And there's too many, like, again, just who you know versus how good you are kind of things. I'm sure there's great people who'd be a fantastic running back, head coach, all these different things who aren't getting chances. At the same time, and I don't know how often you've done interviews yourself, Danny, to hire people, but I know I've got a good number of them. You do the best you can to vet that person, but the person is inherently putting their best self out there during this interview. I don't care if you do five interviews. I mean, they're not going to walk up to you and be like, hey, by the way, if our team gets, you know, it's 2-6, I'm going to be a real dick, just so you know.
Every interview is a first date. You're never going to show your flaws on a first date if you can
never help. Never. And a lot of like times, if you're going to have references, you put your best references out there too. You're not going to put the one that the person you pissed off.
Yeah.
So while it's not great for Flus that this is happening, and I think that still has to go back on him to an extent, of course, I think we also have to understand, like, they aren't, like, able to pull out and figure out, oh, by the way, this person, you know, beats their dog at home. Like, how would you find that out until PETA comes knocking on your door?
Fair question, and a question I don't have the answer to.
So I hear, so basically what I'm saying is I hear what you're saying. Like, I think this has to be reflected. This whole team, this whole regime, this whole thing is funky, and that's just the Bears way at this point. I just, I'm over the whole, like, how did you not know? How did you not know this was going to happen?
No, I'm with you on that. I think it's more just me voicing a frustration because this feels like it's just so Bears. It's like new boss, the same as the old boss. So like, Bears. We can't, it's like, even, like, we didn't have this issue under Nagy. I don't believe we had it under Fox, but Aaron Cromer was, like, beating up kids at the beach or something under Mark Trestman. Like, what the hell is going on?
It's like, I would like to just for one day take my soul and put it into a Chiefs fan's body. What does that feel like? Like, put it into a Steelers fan. Like, how solid that organization has been for so long.
You know what's crazy is when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Baltimore Ravens fan because purple, dark purple specifically, is my favorite color.
Oh, that's a sexy uniform. It's so good.
Like, my dad talked 7-year-old Dan out of not being a Ravens fan because he wouldn't have non-Bears fans in his house. You know what how much different my fandom would be being a Ravens fan, where it's like, yeah, every year you know you're going to compete, like every year. And meanwhile, we get a circus every year. It's Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey never actually left. It just went to Soldier Field.
Just put a tent up somewhere else. Circus fires in tents. Wait. And there. I'm never ready for it. To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure Montez Sweat will make a big enough impact on the pass rush this year. The reason I say that, you know, the problem isn't Sweat, it's the scheme. The scheme sucks. You know, the engine of the scheme is the three tech. We all know that. We've talked about that. The three tech still isn't creating enough pressure in the middle. I mean, Sweat will still play well. He'll still get sacks. And I think he'll look good in comparison to what we've been seeing because he is better than what we've seen.
And he really should make Yannick's job easier.
He should,
to be fair.
And I just don't think it's going to be one of those things where it's like, don't expect, like, I'm saying, like, don't expect, like, the Khalil Mack Green Bay game. Right. Don't expect like things like that where it's just floating off the page of you.
I saw a specific pandering Bears Twitter account akin to the acquisition of Julius Peppers.
Yeah, it's not that.
No, this guy can't hold Julius Peppers' jock. Sorry about your luck. Like,
yeah, between that and again, the rest of the team just isn't there right now. You know, again, this scheme, this defense needs that three tech and they don't have it. He'll do what he needs to do, and I still think he'll look good. It just won't be like, oh, my God.
He's not a game wrecker.
Fireworks. Ain't this humorous? I already did mine to an extent, so why don't you do yours?
Bayless Jones Jr., just being Bayless Jones Jr. And, you know, I appreciate the stories that come out about him that, like, he'll talk to his agent or whatever about, like, the 8 snaps he played. He won't talk about the 7 shit plays he had. He'll talk about the end around that went for 9 yards. Like, did you see that? It's going, like, you know, that's great. If that's your mentality, Mr. Glass half full, that's awesome. At the end of the day, he's not an NFL football player, and I think it's pretty evident at this point.
So would you say that you would be telling
Bailey? Get out of my face! Get out!
Blue Mountain State's fantastic.
I gotta watch that again. It's such a good series.
It's so great.
But yeah, it's tough because whenever Velas does get the ball in his droppy hands, it's so there's a reason he was that open. I mean, yes, there's a bit of a blown coverage to it, but he's explosive and he's fast and he
legitimately is a kid in a story you want to root for.
Yeah.
He just isn't good.
No. All right. Well, time to preview the Saints game.
Oh boy.
Yeah, for anyone that actually cares. So the New Orleans Saints have a 17-13 record against the Bears all time. The Bears have lost the last 7 in a row, and the last matchup was January 10th, 2021. The Bears lost 21-9 in the playoffs. Mitch Trubisky was the MVP, Nickelodeon Most Valuable Player, with the stat line of 19 for 29, 199 yards, and one touchdown. Yay, Mitch.
That's one of those, the internet will forever remain undefeated, because that's just a bunch of spiteful Bears fans voting for him to win that
game. I 100% voted for Mitch in that one, yeah.
And it was it always reminds me of that story of years ago when Harambe the gorilla died. A couple years after that, I think it was a...
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Harambe. I think it was a zoo in Japan or China had a baby gorilla of the same species being born. And they left it up to an internet vote to name him. And they all named him Harambe McHarambe Face.
Oh my God. That's awful, but awesome at the same time.
The internet will remain undefeated.
Oh my God. As horrible as the internet is, it's also a fantastic place.
Oh, it's a delight at times. Just stay off certain corners of it.
But this is an interesting game. For me personally, and I think this is a good Tyson Bagent conversation place, unless you have another thing you're going to talk about him later. I actually didn't talk about Bagent at all because I refused to in any of my other points. But I truly think if Justin was playing in this game, the Bears have a chance in this. But, I mean, the Saints defense is real good. Their offense is finding its way a little bit. I don't know. It's an away game. You know, Saints in their dome. It's going to be a funky one, man.
Yeah, it's Dennis Allen is going to make Bagent's life hell. And he's going to pants Luke Getsy, because for all the quirks and shortcomings he has as a head coach, he is a good defensive play caller. He legitimately is.
What do you love for the Bears in this?
Can I say nothing? Is that allowed?
You could. I mean, I'll allow it. It's fine.
There's nothing I love. This just doesn't feel like a great matchup. I guess if I had to reach, if you can go back to 2 weeks ago and find your running game again that you had against Las Vegas, you might stand a chance. Like, I just want to know why that was the same running game you started seeing when the offense exploded last year. And then you got it back for a segment, and then you lost it again for a segment. And then you brought it back against Las Vegas, and then you just refused to use it. I don't understand, especially because you've got Roshan back now. You've got Deontay Foreman. You've got – Darrington Evans is a nifty little running back.
Yeah.
He can do stuff. Like, why do you refuse to try to do what's working? I don't get it.
You know, it also seemed like they got away from, you know, the thing that we've been upset with Justin, you know, there was to be an open receiver, not throwing it. The quick game has been questionable, and that was great in the Raiders game. But, I mean, how much quick game was there really in that Chargers game? Like, we weren't seeing the DJ Moore slant routes. We weren't seeing the 10-yard digs.
They were trying to make him Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You don't have Aaron Rodgers, Luke. I hate to break it to you. Tyson Bagent ain't Aaron Rodgers. Tyson Bagent ain't freaking Justin Fields. Like, I just – I want to throw him in the garbage.
My love is – the Bears run defense over the Saints run offense. According to PFF, the Saints ranked 23rd in offense. Leading rusher, Alvin Kamara, who has not played the entire year, yet he's somehow leading the team in rushing. He averaging 3.7 yards per carry with 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, good, but not great. As a team, they had 161 yards against the Colts last week, but they had 112, 89, and 136 in 3 games before that. Add that in that the one shimmering spot on this Bears defense is that run D. I think this could be a place where they take advantage of that and make them one dimensional in the pass. But then you know, can you stop the pass? That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, the answer is don't know.
And that goes into my hate. You flip it, where it's basically the Bears' offense as a whole against the Saints' defense. Saints' defense looked off a little last week. I mean, they let up a bunch of yards, a bunch of points to the Colts with Gardner Minshew at the helm. And the Colts are not necessarily a good team. But they've been good for most of the year. I mean, PFF has ranked the defense for the Saints sixth overall, eighth in defensive DVOA. Meanwhile, the Bears' offense ranks 27th in offensive DVOA. So that is a bad matchup. Something that I know it should be a little more specific, but basically watching this Bears offense against the Saints defense is going to be rough. Bajan's better hope that this O-line can hold up and that some of these guys, like maybe Braxton Jones, can actually come back, because otherwise it's going to be real rough.
Straight up not having a good time right now, dude.
What's your hate?
I mean, you kind of covered it. Just the overall matchup. It doesn't feel good. Like, if you can't get home on Derek Carr, even defensively, he's going to pick you apart. It's not going to be with deep stuff, because he just, that's not his game. Despite him having a howitzer for an arm, like, he actually does have a good arm. He just doesn't employ it very often.
Did you see that the Saints were pretty close to trading for Hunter Renfrow?
Yeah, I did see that.
Which, again, goes to your point. It's like, you have such a big arm, and your favorite target is this guy who, you know, just runs slants and like outs and stuff,
and curls and hitches, and yeah, just little short to intermediate stuff, because that's what Derek Carr throws. There's nothing really to be excited about in this matchup. Like, maybe it's Montez Sweat lining up against the rotating cavalcade of left tackles in New Orleans. But if you're them, don't you just like say, all right, here's our tight end and he's going to be over here every play?
I mean, that's what I would do, right? I mean, just eliminate the one threat and just have fun after that. I mean, the Bears have 6.5 sacks and 5 of them came against Washington.
And the guy who was progressing every week, Gervon Dexter Jr., had a real bad week.
Oh, it was bad. So my rehabilitate is all about the pass rush. I know I said earlier that I didn't think Sweat would have a huge impact, but I mean, it'll help, you know, like you said, should help Yannick get some stuff going. For defense to succeed, they need to be creative on how you deploy him, though, right? Some stunts, simulated pressures, etc. And as of right now, I don't think Eberflus can be creative.
I don't think that's in his bag. A couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago against Washington, you saw him start to deploy stuff because he has to. But even the stuff he was starting to show wasn't like on the creativity scale, it was like 3.5 or 4 versus you got
Brian Flores.
Flores, who's a 10, who's just throwing shit at the wall just to do it.
Yeah, we're not asking for a 10. We're asking for like a 5.
But you're not allowed to – you know you're not allowed to bring up Brian Flores with me because I'm going to wax poetic. You're not allowed to do this to me.
He was, I think, both of our number one head coaching candidates.
That was who I wanted. And then they quickly told us he's too mean.
Well, talking about bad takes and missed evaluations, I think my number two that year technically was Josh McDaniels. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Whoopsie-doodle.
Yeah. And the number three was Flus. So whoopsie-doodle times two. That was just also not a great quarterback class. I mean, like, the bell of the ball there was Brian Daboll. And I mean, like, the second year's been a bit of a pumpkin turn for him.
Well, when you agree to give Daniel Jones $40+ million annually, everything about you as a head coach should be questioned. Because I don't care that Joe Shane is the one who inevitably inked the deal. The guy calling the plays and the guy designing the offense believes he could keep developing him. And he might get fired. Truth be told,
there could be a lot of turnover this year. What was your rehabilitate for this matchup?
Yours, same as yours, the pass rush. That's cool. Why I didn't bother speaking it.
Beautiful. X factor for the Saints, what you got?
The X factor for the Saints? Kamara, hey, pretty much. Kamara's still one of the best two-way running backs in football. He's not averaging the best. He is a little older now at this point. But him in space, Tremaine Edmonds, it seems like, potentially.
Who's going in there? Is Sanborn?
God!
Yeah, he's probably coming in for you.
He's probably your Mike. Unless you scoot TJ over to Mike and you play Sand God at at the will. Like, I think that might make more sense because one's better than the other, but.
Yeah, I'm interested. Also, I mean, because your other option is, I mean, is Noah Sewell, right? I mean, other or Dylan Cole, you're not doing that.
I would like to see Noah Sewell.
So could you, so if you were, if you put on your defensive coordinator hat, Tremaine Edmonds is out. Who are your two? Between like with those, knowing those are your three options.
Honestly, what I would probably do is probably what they would not do. I would probably kick TJ into middle because he did that in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I would play Sanborn at the will because he does rack up tackles. He sure tackle. And then I would probably make Sewell my pure Sam for the 15-20% of the snap he would play.
Honestly, I would 100% agree with that. I think that's the way you go. My expectation for the Saints, I already said, was also Kamara, just a little more specifically. I mean, we saw how much the Bears struggled to contain Eckler, right? He caught seven of eight targets for an additional 94 yards through the air and a touchdown. I mean, that angle route he had on TJ Edwards just made him look silly. Alvin Kamara, I mean, you would do the exact same thing. Just feed Kamara out of the backfield and you win the game.
Yep, agreed.
X-Factor for the Bears, can you make Derek Carr feel unsettled? Which the Bears have struggled to do. You know, disguise coverages, pressure from pass rush, bring forward creatively, and as much ish as Jaquan Brisker has gotten this year, maybe not as much from general Bears fandom, but I know from certain individuals that we've talked to, and I think even you might have a couple little Jaquan comments, but I can't remember.
I'm a Jaquan fan.
Personally. Okay, I couldn't remember where you were on the phone.
No, Jaquan, I'm a big fan of because I think he's a tempo setter.
I think, and that's exactly what I was saying here. Like, he often gets shit on with his, you know, he's celebrating when his teammates do a play and, you know, such. But I think, you know, you really saw the defense miss him last week with that tempo you're talking about. So can another safety step up and fill not that role because you can't do that, but, you know, but set the tempo just a little bit. It could bring a little nasty because this goes all the way back to that 2018 playoff game against the Eagles where, you know, it was said that the Bears defense was soft. We knew we could hit them in the mouth and they'd be fine. And that hasn't really changed.
Yeah, I'm with you. My X factor for the Bears is actually the running game. If you can make Tyson's life easier by establishing the running game that's shown to be good in spells this year, you're going to make his life easier. I know the analytics and the everything say that, you know, you'll even get to the extreme of just don't ever run the ball, supplement the long and intermediate passing game, which is short passes and quick screens, which, you know, whatever. But I don't subscribe to that, especially with a undrafted free agent rookie quarterback starting his third game ever. I think your X factor could be if you can get Deontay Foreman running and you can get Roshan going and use him even in the short passing game, utilize his multifaceted abilities. Basically, your running back room is what I'm getting at, not just the running game. Your running back room, I think, is your key to any offensive success if you're just going to choose to not spam DJ more every play.
If you legitimately cared if the Bears won or lost this, would Taysom Hill be a concern for you at all, or is he just teams, like, for some reason, see him in the backfield and, like, short circuit for some reason?
It's, you know, he has to be a concern, right? Because he's not a good athlete who happened to play quarterback. He's a good athlete. They line him up at tight end. They line him up in the slot. They line him up at running back. They line him back at quarterback. Like, he is a threat, especially when you get down to the red zone. You have to be concerned with that. Like, do I think he's, like, priority number one or two? No, but he's got to be in your top five, I'd say.
I mean, there's a reason, like, he's been around as long as he has and has now went from, you know, the Sean Payton regime, which loved him to death, down to, you know, to this Allen regime. And he's still there. He's still getting the wildcatty quarterback looks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and he's always a good bet for an anytime touchdown for, like, plus 600 or plus 300 or whatever he is every week.
All right, wrapping up the show here. We're doing some of our props and stuff like that. Over-unders. Derek Carr, over-under, 325 passing yards.
I'm going to say under, but only slightly because he doesn't throw the ball long.
Yeah, I was originally thinking when I picked this number, it was a little high. But when you look at his last couple of weeks, like, he's been hitting some bangers. Like, I think it was 350 last week. And I think
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, the last couple, when Alvin Kamara came back, this offense has just taken off.
It's almost like he's an X Factor. It's weird.
Oh, crazy. Over under, assuming he plays, Montez Sweat sacks 1.5.
Under. If he gets one, it'll be great. I don't expect multiple.
I was like, wanted to put it at 0.5, and I was like, that's boring, so I just bumped it up. Chris Olave, over under 0.5 touchdowns.
So it's weird because Chris Olave was my wide receiver one last year in his draft class, and he looked the part last year, but he just – him and Derek Carr are clearly just not on the same page. Not I don't know what it is. Like, and he looks like he's been dogging it a little bit, like he's just not interested in playing with Derek Carr. And you saw, what was it, a couple weeks ago in primetime where he's – where Derek Carr is reaming him out for not running full throttle on the route. Like, it's not a – I'll say under for that reason, but, like, it. I don't know what's going on there, but it does not look good.
He's got one touchdown on the year. Mm-hmm. One. And, you know, right, like you said, I mean, he was in that conversation of could he be wide receiver one in that class, looked solid to good last – the whole – it's weird. It's real weird. DJ Moore receptions in the second half, over under 2.5.
You're banking on Getsy forgetting about him again, huh?
Yeah, it's apparently DJ Moore is just on your game plan, and he gets like one catch in the second half.
I'll say over. I think they're going to spam him. They have to get Bajan.
Why does it change, though? Like,
because
play the Commanders.
Drew Barrymore.
Oh, because Drew Barrymore. Like, you play the Commanders and he goes off, and then you're just like, oh, we don't need him anymore. Just throw him the ball. He's the first read on every play, and then if he's not open,
he's
then
one of the top 10 to 12 receivers in football, and Luke Getsy forgets he exists. He's Luke Forgetsy.
And then, like, literally, I'm on the radio to Tyson Bajan. Throw the fucking ball to DJ Moore. Just throw it. I don't care. Just throw it. That's all I'm saying. And then last one here, Tyson Bajan passing yards, over under 250.
I mean, God, his game that he was so great and he threw for like 160, he's under.
He had 232 against the Chargers.
I don't care.
No, I was blown away by that number. Like, I saw the 232 and I was like,
that's a big number, but I'm holding up my big note, who cares sign. Like, I don't think much of him. I'm sorry. He's a good backup, it feels like, maybe. But it's just like, who gives a shit?
Game predictions against the line here. Bears at Saints. Saints favored by 6.5 points.
I would say it feels like a big number, but it doesn't really feel
we said
like
that. Yeah, I remember thinking that last week.
Saints cover.
And until the Bears prove otherwise consistently, I'm going to constantly take the other line. And just whatever
don't, it is. Word to our listeners, don't let the Bears take your money.
Tonight's game, Titans at Steelers, originally a snooze fest, but with Will Levis's 3 touchdowns to Roger Hopkins going off, Steelers are favored by 2.5. Who are you taking?
Parlay, 2.5 and the under. Mike Tomlin-led teams are 22-5 against rookie quarterbacks in his time with the Steelers.
Ooh, that's Danny Dimes' stat of the day for you. Look at that. Dolphins in versus Chiefs in Germany. Chiefs favored by 2.5.
Are we making excuses for Patrick Mahomes being sick but still playing?
Yeah, I think that was it. Plus, you know, Taylor Swift wasn't there, so.
Taylor Swift wasn't there, right.
Is she going to Germany?
We'll find out soon enough, I'm sure. All
right, you talk about that. I'm going to type real quick and see.
I will take the points. I'll take the minus. I'll take the Chiefs to cover. I think they're just a better team than the Dolphins. The Dolphins feel, and I hate saying it in a way because it's very disingenuous to a point, but they almost feel somewhat like a paper tiger, you know, where they play these really good teams and they kind of get slapped around a little bit, or they don't get to do all the things that Mike McDaniel loves to do. And then they play the shitty teams, your Broncos of the world, and they just drop their nuts on their head. Like, it feels like they're still trying to find their way. The defense isn't particularly good. And I think you take Pat Mahomes having a rough game, Travis Kelce not really being himself, healthy, bad defense, Mahomes revenge in Germany. I think that you could see the Chiefs kind of smack him around a little bit.
By the way, it doesn't look like Taylor Swift's going to go, but Donna Kelce is.
Oh, Mama Kelce.
Yeah. So, I mean, that counts for at least half a Swift, right?
Yeah, half a Swift. Third of Swift? I don't know.
Something of that nature. Next one. We got Vikings at Falcons. Falcons favored by 4 post Kirk Cousins Achilles tear. By the way, quick sidebar. I don't know. Did watching Kirk Cousins as a part of the quarterback show change your perspective on him?
I still think he's as exciting as plain white toast. Like,
yeah, he's a corny ass white dude, but like, I felt,
you know, I respect him because you can tell he does genuinely work at his craft.
Oh, and hard, right? I mean, he grinds it out.
Yeah, like he is the definition of someone like hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard, right? That's the famous saying. He has worked himself to every ounce of his potential.
And then to see him go down the way he did, I mean, that just sucked.
Yeah. You do feel for him. I still think he's corny, but I do feel for him. And he's not, not corny. In a, like, I use the word corny for Russell Wilson, too. He's not corny like Russell. Russell's, like, corny in a bad way. This guy is corny just because he's corny.
Yeah, that's just like how he lived his life.
Yeah.
And then do we know officially the starter for the Vikings at this point?
At this point, I believe it's the kid from BYU, Jaren Hall.
Jaren Hall. Yeah, there you go.
I'm actually weirdly seeing
Jaren Hall starting quarterback.
I'm weirdly excited to watch him in some capacity because I kind of liked him at BYU. Like, he's got some flash to his game. He's got a nice arm. He's got some mobility. Do I think he's really meant for the NFL? I don't know. Not really. But it could be exciting to watch him.
Because was he in the draft class with
He's a rookie. So
he's a rookie. Because I remember, I remember mocking him a couple times, thinking he'd be a really good backup until they signed the guy that they cut up. And, Vikings and Falcons. Who'd you pick? But Falcons favored by 4.
I think Falcons cover.
Yeah, I think Taylor Heineke is a professional quarterback. I think he's gonna do a really good job distributing to the weapons that the Falcons have, and the Vikings, I don't know the heck that Jaren Hall's gonna do.
We also need, just in generalities, to have, and I'm an Arthur Smith guy, I like Arthur Smith a lot. Stop forgetting Bijan Robinson exists. It hasn't just been this game with the headache.
Danny, to be fair, sometimes the Falcons forget Bijan Robinson.
They forget Kyle Pitts exists. They forget Drake. They forget their offensive weapons exist sometimes, but they love Tyler Allgeier.
That's true. Tyler Allgeier is real. Cardinals at Browns. Browns favored by 7. At some point, I need the Cardinals to win another game just for, you know, stay away from the first and second pick.
Gannon has those Cardinals playing hard, but they're starting the rookie Clayton Toon, I believe is his name, from Houston. Whatever. I think he has some stuff. Like, he actually showed a lot of ability at Houston. I think he set records there, actually, that were held by Case Keenum, like, for single season stuff, maybe. I might be wrong on that. But I don't think they cover. I think that they lose just outright and probably lose significantly.
Yeah, like I said, I do need the Cardinals to win another game. I'm not sure it's going to be this one. Yeah, that Broncos, that Browns.
It sounds like Kyler's close to back.
Please come back. Yeah, he almost came back this week. And lastly, we have Colts at Panthers. Again, first pick overall. Watch. The Colts are favored by 2.5.
Colts win and cover. The Panthers are awful, man. Like, I get they beat the Texans last week, and it was a really cool moment to see Bryce Young walk into the locker room, like, in clearly feel like some sort of monkey had been lifted off his back, as it were. But, like, they're just not good. And I think Shane Steichen is the goods. He was my favorite coach coming out in this cycle. And Gardner Minshew's not bad. He's a representative NFL quarterback. Yeah. So,
all right, bold predictions here. Coccyx and bull story. On defense, I have Jalen Johnson gets a pick. I think, you know, he comes out. Derek Carr could definitely throw his interceptions here and there. He tries to chance a couple some windows that he necessarily shouldn't. And I think Jalen Johnson, really motivated, goes out there and gets that. On offense, Roschon Johnson gets two touchdowns and leads the backfield in carries.
Ooh, you think so, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why. Just a weird, funky feel. Yeah, I think they lean on the rookie for some reason.
You could be right. My defensive one is, I'm going back to the well on it. Gervon Dexter gets his first sack.
Eventually, you'll be right.
One day, I'm going to be right. And then for the offensive one, I actually think we're going to see potentially, just because they've seemed to have been linking up, I think we're going to get the Tyler Scott touchdown.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah.
And that goes back to a point that I think I said with Kyrie. Because some people have asked, like, well, where was Tyler Scott when – because, you know, the Tyson Bagent had his game and everyone's like, oh, look, Tyler Scott. Yay. Why aren't you – you know, why isn't Justin throwing there? There's something about comfort, right? And I think for the most part
– Who you practice with.
Who do you practice with? Tyson Bagent inherently is practicing with Tyler Scott. You know who didn't do super great in these games with Tyson Bagent? DJ Moore and Darnell Mooney have not been as good.
Like, think of it as you go to play pickup fives. You go with your two friends, but you pick up two randos. The two randos might be better than your two friends, but are you passing to your friends or the randos?
You're passing to your friends because you know their game.
Yep, exactly. Same principle.
Offensive player of the game. I have Roschon Johnson based on those two touchdowns I called out.
I differ from you. I'm going to go with the other running back. I'm going to go with Deontay Foreman. I think that they're going to ride the hot hand. He's been running hard. I think he's probably the best pure runner in that running back room, which is an indictment on your play caller again to just forget he existed for about 4 weeks and just leaving him inactive.
Yeah. You're wrong and you're dead to me. It's Roschon Johnson. but so you're probably right. You're in all reality. Like, I mean, he is a pure runner. We saw that.
Oh, he can't block. He can't catch.
He can't do anything else.
No, it's like put ball in belly, run that way.
Yeah, just such a good runner. Defensive player of the game, who you got?
Defensive player of the game. You know what? He has a good awakening. He'll get his one sack, but Montez Sweat will be the reasoning for other things happening with pressures and run stops, maybe a tackle for a loss to go along with that sack. I think maybe he has a good show out, especially to get his paper that he hasn't gotten yet.
I said Montez Sweat. Reason I wrote here is not hard to be the best pass rusher on this team.
All he has to be is a tall midget at this point.
It's that, like, Family Guy scene where he's like, it's like being the tallest midget, and you know, it cuts over. And it's like, can you grab that cereal off the top shelf? And
it's like, a dwarf among midgets. I feel like
yes,
a dwarf
yes, among I midgets. Can. And we're gonna get canceled for that.
Oh yeah, we are.
But anyway, King of the North, aka the MVP, the Justin Fields, situation that never happens.
Tyson Bagent, my friend. No, Steven.
I'm going to start playing that now for that one. Actually, I just decided. All right, who you
got? Know what? I said Tyson Bagent as a joke. Oh, DJ Moore. Right. DJ Moore is my serious answer.
Okay. You're going to be so upset when Tyson Bagent throws four touchdowns. I broke my streak, and I could not possibly put a bear here, and I just put Alvin Kamara. Like, I don't see
the bear. I thought we were relegated to only bears.
No, you can pick whoever you want. It's just, it never feels right to pick someone else.
Someone else, yeah.
I just don't see them winning this game.
If that's the case, yeah, Kamara's the obvious pick. He's the engine to the offense, right?
Yeah. So, and like I said, I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you look at it, like, literally since Kamara got back, this offense has exponentially gotten better. That's it. Anything else you got to share, Danny, on this Saints game or any of the hubbub that has been this Bears week?
Nothing, man. Like I said, do your parlay under on the Steelers, the Steelers to cover. And I would say anytime touchdown for Jalen Warren. And let's say over on receiving yards for George Pickens. There's a four-leg parlay for you.
There you go. four-leg parlay for you. If it doesn't hit, you can blame Danny.
You can just yell at me.
Right there across the bottom of the screen, it's at Dan Meehan 90. If you're listening, make sure that's D-A-N-M-E-E-H-A-N 90. Slip in the DMs and yell at him.
Yeah, yell at me, please.
That's all we got. Bear down, everybody.
Toodles.